Again, bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. I know we have company with us this morning, and thank you for your attendance. Appreciate that very, very much. So I ask my brethren to look around and make sure we can share a bulletin. Maybe someone came in that did not receive one. If you'd like to have a bulletin, you're very welcome to go out back into the foyer and pick one up. Just come back in. I know my brethren. Title of the lesson comes from the story, the top of the notes that are in the outline, titled Pardon Refused. I want to read this story with you, and I put it in your notes just because of the story's length and because of the message and the conclusion we'll draw from this story. The story begins, in 1829, two men, Wilson and Porter, they were apprehended in Pennsylvania for robbing the United States mail. They were indicted, convicted, sentenced to death by hanging.
Wow.
3 weeks before the scheduled execution, President Andrew Jackson pardoned one of the two men, George Wilson. I don't know why he didn't pardon the other one. It wasn't in the story that I saw. So it says this was followed by a strange decision, which may be without precedent or parallel in our history. George Wilson refused the pardon. Well, this gave rise to a legal question. Can a condemned criminal, refuse the presidential pardon? The question finally appeared before the United States Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Marshall handed down this verdict. A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is not complete without acceptance. So we can offer pardon, but it's not complete unless you accept the pardon. It was continued by Justice Marshall. It may be rejected by the person to whom it was tendered. And if rejected, we've discovered no power in this court to force it upon him. It's not to be thought that a criminal condemned to death refuses his pardon. But if he should, the law remains the same. So you see in your notes, we put three different areas. We're going to make a spiritual application out of this. Number one, all of us stand in need of pardon. Not because we robbed the U.S. mail. But because of our sins before God.
That's right.
And then number two, we've been offered pardon from God. Then number three, all of us must accept God's offer of pardon. We'll kind of close. It's not to be thought that one would refuse pardon when he's guilty and condemned. But it happens. So number one, let's take a look at this biblical illustration. Everyone stands in need of pardon. See, the Bible charges everyone with sin, meaning that everyone is guilty as charged. None of us can stand here and, you know, if I ask the question, anybody here that's never done anything wrong? Keep your hands down. Don't raise your hand. Meaning everything that you've said is correct. Everything you've done is okay in the sight of God. Say that. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 9, For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. That's everybody.
Amen.
As it's written, none righteous. I can't misunderstand that. There's none righteous. He answers the question, no, not one. Not one. In Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Right. Wow. I need pardon. I'm guilty. Hands up. Guilty as charged. Paul said in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. I deserve to die because of my sins, my shortcomings. And then put in your notes, it's our sins that have separated us from God. It's our sins that put us in need of salvation. I'm in need of pardon because of my sins. Isaiah the prophet said it this way in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The Lord doesn't have alligator arms. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, our sins. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I need pardon. I stand in need. You see, the words, when the Bible speaks about sin, by biblical definition, means missing the mark. The illustration is in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, someone that has the target out here and he takes the bow and arrow and he shoots it at the target. If he misses, that word sin is used. He's either overshot it, gone too far or beyond what the target is there, or he's fallen short, he's gone to the left and the right, but he didn't hit the target. Well, I can't hit the target with my life concerning what God has planned for me. I'm guilty as charged. Either I've taken God's word into my own hands and expanded it beyond what is necessary, or I've fallen short of God's word, or I've gone to the left or to the right. I've missed the target. I need some pardon. I need salvation. I can't say to God, everything I think and say and do is okay with you. Just can't do it. James chapter 4, verse 17, to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. I remember a time I meant to do good and didn't do it. Oh, guilty as charged. Sin. Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 4, whoever commits sin transgresses the law. Sin is transgression of the law. I'm a lawbreaker. I violated the law of God. In 1 John 5, verse 17, it says all unrighteousness is sin. Well, I haven't measured up. Unrighteous. So I stand in need of pardon, and everybody here does.
Right.
Hope you can realize that. I don't want to come before God without having accepted his pardon. I don't want to do that. Number two, all have been offered pardon from God. Maybe someone, maybe not here, but you may know someone who says, my sins are too bad. And not only that, you're going to say, Brian, my sins are not only too bad, but I've committed too many. And not only are my sins too bad and too many, I've committed them over too long a time. God can't forgive me. God's not going to offer me pardon when all those things are in place. I'm too bad for too long. Oh, yes, he can. This message is for you. If you think you're too bad for salvation, oh no, we got to think again. Everyone's been offered pardon from God. There's nothing that you've done. Maybe in your own mind, I'm too bad and for too long and too often. Too horrible. Too many times I've sinned. God, can you forgive me? Yeah. We even sing the song, how amazing grace. That's right. That's why it's so amazing, because God can forgive.
Right.
It's amazing. God offers us pardon. What that should do is fill us with gratitude. And say, thank you. What can I do? Is there any way that I can measure up? Or what do you require from me now? You've offered me pardon in Titus 2 verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation, that's what I want. I want to be saved. Has appeared to all men. Now don't leave yourself out of that. He's appeared to all men. Everybody. In 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord's long-suffering. He's very patient with us. Not willing that any should perish. Oh, but wait, I'm too bad. No, God doesn't want any to perish. But that all, everybody should come to repentance. In Romans chapter 8 verse 1, it says, therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That's his offer. There's a situation that can exist in your life and mine that pardons us. That frees us from condemnation. Oh, I need that. That's what I want to sense. That I've been forgiven. We cannot write out a pardon for ourselves. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. Uh-oh. But I thought if I did this and did that, I'd be okay. No, it's not of you, not me. We can't formulate a committee over here and formulate a plan that would be acceptable to God to have our sins forgiven. I can't just stand over here and say, well, I just think I'm okay, and therefore I am. No, can't do that. It's not of ourselves. It says it's a gift of God. And it's not of works. Otherwise, I could boast. I say, God, you owe me. It's not of works. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But those are the things that God's ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Remember the song we just sang, Rock of Ages? Hymn writers captured this. He said, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. If I could, if my tears could forever flow, if I could just cry that I'm so sorry for what I've done, this too horrible, too bad for too long. If I could just cry, my tears could forever flow. If my zeal, no languor, no, if I could just work around the clock to pay for my sins. Hymn writer says, these for sin could not atone.
That's right.
Thou must save, and thou alone. Yeah. Simply to thy cross I cling. Remember we sang the first song we sang, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing less will do. We sang the song, what can wash away my sins? And the hymn writer answered the question, nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Not of ourselves, not of works. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So point number two is all have been offered pardon from God. Everybody. But number three, remember our story and introduction? We must accept God's offer of pardon to be pardoned. As Chief Justice Marshall said concerning Wilson, it's not to be thought that someone would reject a pardon. And the terms of pardon that God offers, I put in your notes, has been illustrated abundantly and clarified in the book of Acts. It was in the text that was read to us. When Peter is standing 50 days after the Passover, 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, he's in Jerusalem with devout Jews from every nation. And he's convinced his audience that they crucified the Christ. He said in verse 37, this Jesus whom you crucified,
You did it. God has made both Lord and Christ. And they heard that, they're cut to the heart. They cried out. You know, they're convinced we've murdered the Messiah. We crucified the Christ. So they cry out, guilty as charged. What shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness or the remission of sins. Take that penalty away from me. Pardon me.
Yes, sir. Hey,
what did he say? What can we do? This is what you need to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, to receive the forgiveness, the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of God's Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that's us. Then with many other words, I wish I knew what he said.
Yeah.
He said, with many other words. Give me that out, sermon outline. Yeah. Many other words, he testifies, he exhorted them saying, save yourselves, salvation, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. The way they were walking now was not toward anything good. Then those that gladly received his word were baptized, added to them about 3,000 souls. And then not only that, but then they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. And in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who are those who are being saved and added to the church? Those who gladly received his word were baptized. They accepted the offer of pardon. They did. Second illustration I put in your notes. When Philip preaches to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, these Samaritans in the city, some says they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. See, Christianity is a taught religion. You have to be told how to present yourself before God. For salvation and to worship. So they were baptized. They believed Philip preaching. And what did he preach? The good news concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. How did they know to be baptized? From a sermon on the kingdom and Jesus, they're baptized, men and women. And then another illustration, it's the same Philip. God called him away from this successful revival meeting in the city and says, I want you to go to the desert and preach to one man.
Yes, sir.
One man? I want to preach to the masses, to the crowds. No, you go to one man. He's riding in a chariot. The Ethiopian asked Philip to join himself with him into the chariot. He's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And in Acts 8, verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, another Jesus sermon. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. And they hear preaching Jesus. But here's water. What hinders or what's anything stopping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. So he made a confession of his faith. Already knew he was a sinner. You don't confess your sins when you come, you confess your faith. That's the good confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip stopped the chariot, commanded the chariot to stand still. And Philip and Ethiopian go down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. And then they come up out of the water, Philip and the Ethiopian. He goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always an occasion of joy. And then Philip is caught away and preaches another place. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas are preaching to Lydia in Philippi, down by the riverside, and she attended to the things spoken from Paul, and she's baptized. Now, the point we're making here is you need to accept God's offer of pardon. I want you to note, if you notice in these illustrations, the gospel was preached. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in him whom we've not heard? You have to hear. You have to hear. Then second, you notice how many believed, even though the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they heard the word of God. They were cut to the heart. Now, I believe, but there was more. So they had to repent, turn their life around. Jesus himself said it too in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish. I'm condemned. But I don't want to die spiritually. So I need to turn my life around. Then number 4, I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then I'll be baptized. When those 4 things are in place, then you can be baptized. If you're only converted to baptism, you're not going to be any better after baptism than you were before.
That's right.
All you did was just you dunked in the water. But when those 4 things are in place, see, baptism changes your relationship to God. From being outside of Christ to being in Christ, becoming a family. Faith changes your mind from non-belief to belief. Repentance changes your life from walking your own direction, now I'm going to walk in God's direction. Faith is not designed to change your life. It only changes your mind. That I don't believe, now I believe. Repentance changes your life. Repentance doesn't change your mind, your faith. I know a lot of people that are living good moral lives. You know, community members, Chamber of Commerce people. Do a lot of good deeds, but they're not people of faith. Faith changes your mind from unbelief to belief. Repentance changes your life. Baptism changes your relationship. Baptism doesn't change your mind from unbelief to belief. Baptism doesn't change your life from following self to serving God. Baptism changes your relationship. So don't stop short. Don't be satisfied with just, I've heard and I believe and I'm turning my life around. Now you want to be baptized. Another illustration of putting your notes, we'll close with this. And then in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. So when we sing our song of encouragement, song of invitation, we extend that invitation, that deed that offers pardon during this song. You can come to God anytime. But we always ask, why not now? Why not while others are gathered here who have already accepted that pardon, can rejoice with you in that decision? So as we noted in our introduction, George Wilson refused the pardon offered by President Jackson. He chose rather to die on the gallows. And if we had been present that morning in 1829 to witness the hanging, we probably would have said to ourselves or the person next to us, we might have thought, how foolish, George. George, how needless. There's a pardon being offered you on the table. Why will you die? Same thing we ask of others. If you have not accepted that pardon already, why will you die needlessly? When we sing this invitation song, the third stanza, just as I am. Third stanza, one of my favorites. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I want you to believe that God pardons your sins. If you've not accepted that pardon already, and that's your desire, if that's your resolve this morning, simply come and have a seat beside me while singing this song. At the close of the song, I'll simply ask you what's on your mind. And you will say, I'll tell you what to say. Say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Brian, want brethren to pray with me or for me. And we can accomplish that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for.